morning, our devotional comes from 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, and Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all fountains of water, and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. Are there any announcements before we go to class? If not, let's go to Sunday school.
The title of our lesson is Between Two Opinions, and our lesson text comes from 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12 through 21, which just picks up where Brother Jimmy left off reading. And of course, this is concerning Elijah and the prophets of Baal. One thing that in the devotional background study, we had Obadiah going out with Ahab looking for grass and water. And I'm wondering a little bit why Obadiah was there with Ahab rather than being with Elijah in the first place. It may be that that's where the Lord wanted him, I don't know. But I'm wondering if he was in the wrong place, if that wasn't where he should have been. He was maybe perhaps representative of a saved individual living in the world. I don't know if that's correct or not, but it kind of seems to me that he may have been. And another thought that I wonder is that the same Obadiah that later on wrote the book of Obadiah? According to it's got the dates in my Bible where someone is figured out what they think the time frame was, and the book of Obadiah was written about 30 or 40 years after this in 1 Kings. So I kind of wonder if Obadiah as a young man was mixed in with the world and later on. So I don't know. That was just thoughts that went through my head. I may be totally off. It may be two different Obadiahs. I don't know, but it's something that I thought of. But carrying on in verse 12 of 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Now he says this, and yet he's afraid he's going to be killed by Ahab. He's not trusting in the Lord, it doesn't appear to me. Was it not told my lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and fathers, thy house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel into Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together into Mount Carmel. And Elisha came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So at this point, the people of Israel are kind of mixed in with the world. They're mixed in with this idolatrous religion. It speaks here of following Balaam and Baal. Now, there were probably some of them that really were actively worshiping Balaam and Baal. But I kind of wonder if perhaps the majority of them weren't actively worshiping these two gods, but rather just kind of okay, just kind of going along with it. Just, well, that's not right, but, you know, what you going to do? Just kind of at ease in Zion, I guess is what I'm saying. And I suspect the majority of this people was that way. Since they answered him not a word, they probably, I'm guessing, were struck with guilt, struck with a guilty conscience here when Elijah said that, because they knew who they ought to be worshiping. They knew how they ought to be standing, and they weren't. Now, again, I think some of them more than likely had actually fallen up completely astray and went after Balaam, but I really think the majority of them were just okay with it. They were just kind of mixed in. But probably when they were together with each other saying, oh yeah, that's wrong, they shouldn't be doing that. The Lord God, he's the one true God. But then when they got around these other people, these Balaam worshipers, they were like, well, you know, you've got your God, and it's okay. You know, no hard feelings. That was just a thought that I had. The thing is, we can say for sure is they weren't wholeheartedly serving God. That wasn't where they were. And I think that's kind of what Obadiah was a picture of. Now, I really believe Obadiah was a saved individual. I think that he was capable of worshiping God. He knew what was right. He knew what was wrong. But he was still kind of mixed in with Ahab. And he was beholden to Ahab. Ahab was the one that was that was where his bread was coming from, so to speak. Now, I want to go over into the New Testament, into Luke, chapter 12, verse 16. And it says, and he spake a parable unto them. This is Jesus. And he spake a parable and saying to them, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So that's pretty easy to understand. And we today, I don't farm. I don't grow crops. I'm not having fruit trees where I've got to store my stuff up. But I do work, And I do participate and have quite a number of years in the retirement programs that the different companies that I've worked for have offered. And so it goes into stocks, and you know, you can look at there and you choose which ones you want and how aggressive you are, how conservative your long term. You choose these things out. And it's easy to get caught up in that and to look and say, well, that one didn't perform very well. I don't want to put the money there. I want to move it over here where it'll grow and I can retire later on, because I mean, I want to retire. I don't want to work on until I die. But is that not a little bit like what this rich man did? I think it is, because he's preparing for his future. He's building this stuff up and he's storing it away so that he'll have something for the future. He's trying to take care of things. And he says here, eat, drink, and be merry. I've got plenty here. And that's kind of the same thought that I have when I'm doing these things. I want to have plenty so I can rest and take it easy. But I still believe in God. He saved my soul. And, you know, but it's kind of halting between two opinions here. I think it is. You may disagree with me. I don't know. And I don't. Let's read on a little bit further here. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said, again, Jesus, and he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you. Now, he says this to his disciples. He didn't say this to the rich man. But he says it to his disciples. And if you're saved, then you're one of his. And so he's speaking unto you. He's speaking unto me because I am saved. And he says this to me. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. Life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. In other words, don't worry about your 401k. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, your food. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? In other words, what you worry about things, and what are you really going to do? What can you change? You can't make yourself any taller. It doesn't do any good. If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, I can dress and, you know, wear the best clothes. I can go see Jimmy and buy a suit and it'll look really sharp. And I can do everything that I can to be well dressed and spend as much money as I choose to. But what really looks good, clothes or a person with a heart that's following God? That's what he's saying, I believe, here. When we are arrayed with good works, when we're serving God, when we're in the center of his will and doing everything that we can for God, we're going to be well dressed. You may be wearing a t-shirt and blue jeans, but you're going to be well dressed. You're going to be clothed in white raiment, I believe would be how it's phrased in Revelations. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about it. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what ye have need of the, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. In other words, the rest of the world, that's what they're after. That's how they're thinking. That's what they're all about, is saving up nice clothes, nice houses. Don't be like the rest of the world, because God knows what you need. God understands that you need clothing, that you need food, that you need shelter. He's got that. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all the things shall, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now this is the key to everything that I read before. Rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Now I don't think that he's only talking about the salvation of your soul. Obviously that is the most important thing. But remember, he's talking to his disciples here. So they are already saved. He's not telling them to be saved again. He's saying to seek to serve God, to do what he would have you to do, to follow his will. Reach out to the lost. Be concerned with the lost. Because when we're concerned about our own well-being with these things that he's mentioned here, we're not going to be concerned about the lost. We're not going to be, you can't have both things going on in your mind at the same time, being worried about new clothes or new cars, and also at the same time being concerned about your neighbor or your spouse or your son or your daughter or your mom or your dad, whoever, about the condition of their soul. Those two things, they're in conflict there. And so he's saying here to seek to serve God, and those other things are going to be taken care of. God's going to supply those other things for you. And I think that he does. And I think he supplies those things well. You know, I talked earlier about looking at the different choices that I had where I could put my, arrange my 401k thing, and I can go online and I can look at it and I can paint it out. But it doesn't really matter because God is able to take care of that. If I stop worrying about that, if I stop thinking about that and think about the things that God wants me to think about and do what he wants me to, he'll take care of all that other stuff. It may not, the 401k may never amount to anything. It may be totally gone. It seems sometimes like that's the way it's going to be. But somehow or another, God will take care of me that I can make it on till whenever he chooses to take me on. That might not mean that I'll ever retire, I don't know, but in whatever form or fashion, he's going to take care of me if I'll do what he says, if I'll seek first the kingdom of God. Well, it says, seek ye the kingdom of God. I think in Matthew it says, seek first the kingdom of God. I'd have to turn there and check, but it says, rather seek ye the kingdom of God. Seek you to do what God would have you to do. Serve him, follow him, pray earnestly, be afflicted for the things that are wrong. Be concerned with what's going on. Then those other things are going to be taken care of. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't worry about it. That's God wants to give you these things. He wants to take care of you. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also. There will your heart be also. Now, the reason I went to this was because I think that's what was represented in our lesson text here. Elijah and Obadiah. Elijah was here seeking the kingdom of God, serving God as best he could. And because of that, he was kind of out in the wilderness. He wasn't, Obadiah on the other hand was in the king's palace. He was probably eating well. He was probably well clothed. He probably felt like his future was pretty well established because Ahab was going to take care of him. Now, kind of reading between the lines there. Again, I don't know that all for a fact. Whereas Elijah out here in the wilderness, you would look at that and you would think, well, that's pretty risky there. No real shelter, no store to go down to for your food, no kind of, look, apparently no kind of future. And yet, Elijah was trusting in God. And he understood these things that Jesus has said here. He understood that God would take care of him, that God would add these things to them, as long as Elijah followed what God would have him to do. Now, Elijah was strong at this point. You all know the story. The prophets of Baal were all gathered together. They how the wood was piled up. The prophets of Baal danced and cut themselves, and nothing happened. Then Elijah had water poured on the fire and so much water that it all ran out into ditches around it. And the Lord came down and he consumed that offering. And then Elijah told the people, slay the prophets of Baal. Get rid of them. They're corrupt. And you get rid of them and move them out of the way. And those, and so Elijah was very strong for God. He was serving God. But if you read on a little bit later, he kind of grew weak. He kind of he grew fearful. Part of me doesn't understand that. Part of me understands it completely very well, because I'm the same way. God can bless me and I can feel his presence and I can be sure and strong. And then it seems like just a little bit later, I'm a totally different person. And that's what happened with Elijah. So the things in the Old Testament were given to us to read and to study and to understand and to know, you know, kind of the way things are, the way things work. We have examples and we have direct commandments and we have explanations given to us. The Lord Jesus here gave us some examples and some reasons. He laid it all out. It's not hard to understand really the words that he's speaking here. It's not even hard to understand the concept. Trust God, serve him, and he'll take care of you. And every one of us that's saved knows that this is true. Because at one point, before we were saved, we trusted God and we laid it all out there for him and he took care of us. And we all know that. And we can go back to that time and that place and we can remember it, we can feel it. And yet, it's still easy for us as people, as a little bit of time passes by, to kind of grow weak and kind of do like Elijah did after the prophets of Baal were destroyed. We kind of begin to grow fearful and doubtful, and it's just our nature. And yet we know better. And I think that even Obadiah, he really knew better. He said, you know, there that in the 14th verse, he shall slay me, speaking of the Ahab. Ahab is going to slay me. But I think if Obadiah had taken the time to draw near to the Lord, he would have understood God was going to take care of him. The writer of our Sunday school lesson has some pretty good commentary. If y'all want to turn over there and read that later on, I'm not going to go through it right now. But he brings out a few things pretty similar to what I said, I believe. But it's worth reading. I'm done for today. Does anybody have any thoughts, any comments, questions?
Hey, I would say one thing. Elijah, he was pretty faithful that he would overcome when he went up against when there was about 800 people.
There were a lot. There were a lot of them.
Yeah. And he told the fellows to cry to your God. They cried all day. He was served.
Mm-hmm.
And he prayed just a short prayer and boom. Everything
was
licked
up, the water was licked up, and then they believed.
Yeah.
That
was a great victory.
I noticed in here it said that Obadiah reminded him twice. Said twice, but I helped the prophets. And it's like, well, God took care of the prophets. It's hard to sometimes see that.
It's pretty easy to say, trust God, he'll take care of things. It's easy to say it. It's not sometimes so easy to do. We tell the lost all the time, just turn it over to the Lord. The Lord will take care of you, he'll save you. But we don't do that a lot of times. It's that war within us, our nature, our human nature versus our spiritual. And that's the way we are. we can be aware of it and be on guard, put effort into it. If there's nothing else, let's remember the prayer request that we made earlier today. Don, would you dismiss us?
All the prayers and I bless all that's good to be others on favors and blessings today.